إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you, a special welcome to our sisters and our daughters in Islam, since this is the class for them. Dars lil-nisa is a women class. The brothers can, inshallah ta'ala, listen if they want to, because there is very important information that we men should know as well. Alhamdulillah, as we mentioned last class, today is going to be the first class from this book. We're starting the reading from this book, Al-Intisaru Lihuquq Al-Mu'minat, Ta'lif Salama Al-Salafiyyah, Supporting the Rights of the Believing Woman, Supporting the Rights of the Believing Woman, by Ummu Salama. Inshallah ta'ala, what we're going to do today, we're going to read the introduction and also an introduction by Shaykh Muqbil Rahimahullah. Shaykh Muqbil Rahimahullahu ta'ala, to this book, and the introduction of the author. The author, she's a woman, alhamdulillah. The woman addressing the women. Okay, Ummu Salama, the wife of Shaykh Muqbil Rahimahullahu ta'ala. Wa hafidhaha Allah. And inshallah ta'ala, we're still waiting for the books. And we're going to read from the translation. And this book that has been published by the Tarbiyah bookstore from Texas, from Dallas. I spoke to the brother, Abu Mujahid, and it's okay with him that we can read from these books, alhamdulillah. Rather, he told me that they receiving new books with a new edition, alhamdulillah, and we're gonna have a copy to give out to our sisters, inshallah ta'ala, free of charge, inshallah. Once we receive those books, we'll be giving them out, inshallah ta'ala. In the introduction of the Shaykh Muqbil rahimahullah, Shaykh Muqbil ibn Hadi al-Wadi'i, he died some 10 years ago, rahimahullah ta'ala. He's one of the scholars of our time. He's from Yemen. He studied in Saudi Arabia and spent some time there and went back to Yemen and began to call to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And especially in Damaj, he studied in Damaj. The Maj now that he's been encircled by the Houthis, the Rafidah, may Allah give them what they deserve. Amen. And may Allah protect our brothers and our sisters, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, anywhere they may be, but especially in the Maj. Amen. So the Shaykh Muqbil rahimahu ta'ala himself, he went back to Sa'da, where he is, he's from, and began to teach the Aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the Creed of As-Salaf al-Salih, the Book of Allah, the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, based on the understanding of As-Salaf al-Salih. فَنَفَعَ اللَّهُ بِهِ قَوْمًا كَثِيرًا. And Allah has put a lot of effort, subhanallah, from the work of Shaykh Muqbil rahimahullah. Subhanallah, the whole of Yemen, the whole of Yemen. MashaAllah, now you find marakis, centers, masajid upon the Sunnah and upon Salafiyyah. Because of the students of this noble Shaykh, Shaykh Muqbil Rahimahullah, they went back to their home places and towns and villages and areas, and they began to teach the people the Sunnah, alhamdulillah. Rahimahullahu kathiran, rahmatan wasi'ah. So he says in the introduction of this book, Shaykh Muqbil Rahimahullah, he says, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the most merciful, the bestower of mercy. The bestower of mercy and peace and blessings be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family and his companions. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, who is alone without any partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and a messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To proceed, Shaykh Muqbil rahimahullah says, I am familiar with what the author Umm Salama bint Ali Al-Abbasi has written, entitled Al-Intisaru li Huquq al-Mu'minat, supporting the rights of the believing women. The Shaykh, he says, I found it to be a beneficial book. This is a recommendation from the Shaykh, rahimahullah. He says, I found it to be a beneficial book as it contains verses from the Book of Allah and traditions from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the Shaykh, he says, rahimahullah, the Quran and the Sunnah are beneficial knowledge. The Quran and the Sunnah are beneficial knowledge. Whoever does not seek guidance from them will not find guidance in anything else. Allahu Akbar. Whoever does not seek guidance from them, from the Quran and from the Sunnah, will not find guidance in anything else. As our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَ اللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. In what other speech except Allah's and His proofs will you believe? Surah Al-Jathiyah, chapter 45, verse number 6. Shaykh Muqbil rahimahullah ta'ala continues saying in his introduction, he says, she, meaning the author Ummu Salama, hafidhah Allah, she performed a great duty in selecting the topic of the believing women's rights. Many people are neglectful in this area, or they leave it off altogether. Many people are neglectful when it comes to knowing the rights of the women. Therefore, she reminded the fathers, close male family members and husbands about what Allah has made obligatory upon them, as well as what He has strongly suggested for them to do. And just from here, this book actually should be for men. All right? This is knowing the rights of the women upon men, whether they are fathers, whether they are husbands, or other than that. But the women too, they need to know their rights. They need to know their rights, so that when they ask for that which Allah has made for them. InshaAllah ta'ala. The Shaykh, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara, naran wa quduha annasu wal hijaratu alayha malaikatun ghiladun shidad, la ya'asuna Allah ma amarahum, وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from a fire. From a fire which is fueled by men and stones. Surah At-Tahrim, chapter 66, verse number 6. In Sahih al-Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim, it is reported that Ma'qil ibn Yasar radiallahu anhu said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا مِنْ رَاعٍ يَسْتَرْعِيهِ اللَّهُ رَعِيَّةً ثُمَّ. Actually he says, this companion, he narrated to us that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is the statement of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا مِنْ رَاعٍ يَسْتَرْعِيهِ اللَّهُ رَعِيَّةً ثُمَّ لَمْ يُحِطْهَا بِنَصْحِهِ إِلَّا لَمْ يَجِدْ رَائِحَةَ الْجَنَّةِ. There is no shepherd, someone whom responsible over anyone whom Allah has given a flock for him to lead, then ignores his advice, except that he will never smell paradise, the fragrance of paradise. And that shows the importance of taking care of the obligation, the responsibilities and the duties. Also found in the books of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, rahimahumullah, from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. All of you are shepherds, meaning responsible, you have a responsibility on your shoulders, and you will be asked about that responsibility. Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, I hope that Allah gives benefit with this book, and that it benefits both men and women. There is no greater need than to judge by Allah's law in our family problems and our marital problems. There is no greater need than to judge by Allah's law in our family problems and our marital problems. He said, and this book clarifies the solution to many family problems. This book clarifies the solution to many family problems. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Whenever you differ about something, the judgment and the answer of that is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's with Allah, in the book of Allah and in the sunnah of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surah Ash-Shura, chapter 42, verse number 10. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. If you dispute with each other about something, return that affair. That affair, return it to Allah and the Messenger, if you believe in Allah and the last day. Surah An-Nisa, verse 59, chapter 4, verse 59. The ulama, they says, refer the matters to Allah, meaning to the deen of Allah, to religion of Allah. Refer it to the book of Allah and to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's how you refer it to Allah, by knowing what Allah says about that matter, in through that which Allah has legislated, by knowing what Allah says in the book, in His book, what His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in His sunnah. But you have to have the correct understanding as well. Not just to read the ayah and apply it with your understanding, unless if you're one of the people who have understanding from the ulama. But we have to understand these texts, the correct understanding, the understanding of a salaf or salih. As for turning the affairs to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then our noble scholars, they says, in his life, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive, those who were with him, they should go back to him in person. They should turn all affairs to him, to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But after his death, what they do? All of us, we are commanded to take it back to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left for us. The book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Not like some Sufis, they take it to the Messenger, meaning to his grave. And they take a plane and spend money and go to Medina and then go to the grave and talk to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is not right. Turning it to the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as our scholars, they says, in his time, when he was alive, then those who were around him, they go back to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we have so many narrations, alhamdulillah, in which many people went to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and asked him about many things. As for after his death, then everybody is commanded to take it back to what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left for us. To what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left for us. The book and the sunnah. But with the understanding. With the understanding, the correct understanding, the understanding of the Salaf al-Salih. Then Shaykh Muqbil Rahimah wa ta'ala, he says, verily in the author are gathered some praiseworthy traits. These include abstaining from worldly pleasures. Now he's giving some good references about the author, Ummu Salama. Hafidah Allah. He says, verily in the author are gathered some praiseworthy characteristics. Some praiseworthy characteristics. These include abstaining from worldly pleasures. See? Dunya doesn't concern her. Exemplary character. She has a good character, good manners. Spreading beneficial knowledge. The author, she spreads beneficial knowledge. And not wasting her time. And she doesn't waste her time. She spends her time by herself in the women's library. Substitute teaching for Ummu Abdullah al-Wadi'iyya when she is absent. Ummu Abdullah al-Wadi'iyya, Hafidah Allah, also she has authored a couple of books like Nasihati lin-Nisa, a very important book too, My Advice to Women. She substitute for her when she is absent an effective lecturing. Then the Shaykh Muqbil Rahmatullah says, verily the Islamic community is in great need of righteous women who can care for their Muslim sisters so that the corrupted and corrupting callers do not lead them astray. Allahu Akbar. Naam. Verily the Islamic community is in great need of righteous women who can care for their Muslim sisters so that the corrupted and corrupting callers do not lead them astray. The wives of the Prophet ﷺ, as well as the female companions, played a major role in spreading the prophetic traditions. The Shaykh now is telling the women in general to really get serious on learning this deen so that they can spread it amongst the sisters. Because women cannot give a khutbah on Jumu'ah. Women cannot go on lecture in seminars. These are the ways of the Hizbis, Ahlul Bid'ah. They put women names and pictures on flyers. And then they have a man, three men and two women, right on the same podium. Wal-iyadu billah. Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, they don't know such things. But rather, the sister, yes, the women, they cannot give a khutbah, they don't lead the salat, but they can teach still. They teach at home. They start with their children. Because those children, they spend most of the time with their mothers. When the father usually is out spending more, 8 to 10 hours out, more than that, because 8 to 10 hours just for his job. And then, what about the time he go for shopping, the time he go take care of his car, the time he came here in the masjid, because he still have to come and pray. So usually the children, they spend more time with the mother. So if the mother, alhamdulillah, she's wise with her time, she spend her time wisely, those children, they're gonna learn a lot. And also when she have her sisters around her, whether they came to her house or whether she go on visit, she will play a great role to teach her sisters. She always have a book with her and she read and she advise. And because she's studious, sisters, they may ask her questions. She may say, Sheikh so-and-so said in this book, Sheikh so-and-so, I have a tape, I have a CD, I can forward it to you. Actually, I just read this, alhamdulillah, on the internet from the website of Sheikh Bin Baz, Sheikh Al-Albani, Sheikh Fawzan, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen. Inshallah, I can forward for you if you give me your email address. I bring it to me next time, and the like. So the Sheikh Al-Ta'ala, rahimahullah, he says, Naam, the women, they should play a role in spreading the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And in conclusion, the Sheikh says, I advise the author and her sisters to make a great effort in spreading beneficial knowledge from the noble Quran, the prophetic traditions, and the Arabic language, to become knowledgeable in Allah's religion, to place an importance on spreading that knowledge by writing and inviting to Allah and teaching the ignorant women. A woman does not teach men, unless if that man is a mahram. Unless for her husband, yes, she knows something, that husband has to humble himself. If a brother is married to a sister that she knows Quran, alhamdulillah, she memorized the Quran or she memorized some of it, but she knows the rules, then he don't know, he humble himself. He don't grow arrogant. Rather, he has to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has to thank Allah for having a wife that knows. Likewise, if she knows Arabic. Likewise, if she knows some fiqh. Because, alhamdulillah, this is a virtue from Allah. To know a little bit, to know the deen, and to understand, Allah give it to certain people. Okay, some women, alhamdulillah, they know stuff too. Alhamdulillah, they are on a great level of knowledge. But we don't know because they don't put themselves out there. And they shouldn't. But they benefit themselves, they benefit their family members, and they benefit their sisters. They benefit their sisters in the gatherings. She's invited into walima, into aqiqah. She's invited here or there. And the knowledge she have, she will see. She may see some mukhalafat. She may see her sisters talking in a certain way or dressed in a certain way. Or praying in a certain way, or how they conduct themselves with each other, with their children, then alhamdulillah she will teach them correctly, she correct their mistakes nicely in a kind way. So the Sheikh says, yes, the women, they should play a role and they should learn. They should learn so they can spread this knowledge of Al-Islam. And they also to teach their ignorant sisters and women. And this is very needed. Look at us, we speak through the mic. But when the sister is right by her sisters, and she can see them, they happy with her, alhamdulillah, if they have to say anything, she's right there. She can see them. She can see the expressions on their faces. It's not like us, we don't know what's going on over there. We don't know if the sisters are listening or are not listening. I hope they're listening. I'm just giving this as an example. Because I see it when I give a class to the brothers and they're right in front of me, I keep an eye on them. So if somebody is like doing here or flying somewhere or went somewhere, I bring him back. What did they just say? So when a sister is among the sisters, mashallah, she talked to them. And she's right there with them. If one of them is spaced out, she bring her back, alhamdulillah, and the like. And then the Shaykh, rahimahullah, He says, if Allah guides one woman by your hand, it is better for you than a red camel. Allahu Akbar. Naam. But you gotta learn first. Men and women, not just women, but both men and women, we should not speak with anything unless we have knowledge. And if we have learned it, we can't just get there and open a book and start reading and, oh yeah, the Sheikh, what he meant by the way. Who are you to say the Sheikh, what he meant by the way? Now, you read what the Sheikh says. If one of the sisters says, I didn't understand what the Sheikh says, then read it again. Because some of us, we don't get it from the first time. Right or wrong. Now, some of us, we got to read it 3 times. Some of us, we got to read it 5, 10 times. Now, be patient with your sisters. Read it 2, 3 times, 5 times, 6 times. MashaAllah. And then, alhamdulillah, she goes, oh, mashaAllah, I got it now. Or if she didn't get it, then you're like, okay, we're going to ask one of the people of knowledge, inshallah. Tayyib. May Allah firmly establish us. The Sheikh Muqbil says, may Allah firmly establish us all on what He loves and pleases Him. And that was, as I mentioned earlier, the introduction to this book, Supporting the Rights of the Believing Women, by Abi Abdurrahman Muqbil ibn Hadi al-Wadi'i rahimahullah. Now we read to you the introduction by the author herself, Hafidah Allah. Also, she says, إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily all praise is due to Allah, the Most High. We seek His aid and we ask His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evils within ourselves and from our wicked deeds. Whomever Allah has guided, none can misguide. And whoever Allah has allowed to be misguided, none can guide. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and I bear witness except Allah, who is alone with no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and a messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. O you who believe, fear Allah as He has the right to be feared, and do not die except as Muslims. Surah Ali Imran, verse 102. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. O mankind, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul and created from it, from that soul its mates, and spread from them many men and women. And fear Allah who you seek your rights from, and do not cut off family ties. Verily Allah is an ever watcher, an ever watcher over you. Surah An-Nisa, first verse. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. O you who believe, fear Allah and speak the truth. Your good deeds will be accepted and your sins forgiven. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed achieved a great victory. Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verses 70 and 71. فأما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة وضلالة في النار. أما بعد. To proceed, verily the most truthful speech is the book of Allah. The best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the worst of affairs are newly invented affairs, as every newly invented affair is an innovation. Every innovation is a strain, and every strain is in the fire. to proceed, she said, Umm Salama, Hafidhah Allah, I have gathered in this book some of the proofs from the book of Allah and the Sunnah in establishing the rights of women. These are rights from the book and the Sunnah. They are not from some newspaper, CNN, or from this or that. Some activists who don't even worship Allah. These are, she says, I have gathered, and we learn from her. You want to gather your rights? What from? From your country? Your traditions? From your area? No. Here's an example. I have gathered in this book some of the proofs from the book of Allah and the Sunnah in establishing the rights of women. The right of women, she says, is a topic which many people neglect, either because of ignorance or because of lack of caring for women. She says, when we ask men for our rights, we are talking about those rights established in Islamic law, not just any rights. We do not mean that the woman has complete freedom. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم. Men are given power over women. This is Allah's statement. Men are given power over women by what favor Allah has given some over others and by what they spend of their wealth. Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 34. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغْضُضْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا لِبُعُولَتِهِنَّ أَوْ آبَائِهِنَّ أو آباء بعولتهن أو أبنائهن أو أبناء بعولتهن أو إخوانهن أو بني إخوانهن أو بني أخواتهن أو نسائهن أو ما ملكت أيمانهن أو التابعين غير أولي الإربة من الرجال أو الطفل الذين لم يظهروا على عورات النساء ولا يضربن بأرجلهن ليعلم ما يخفين من زينتهن وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Surah An-Nur, verse 24, actually verse 31, chapter 24, verse 31. Say to the believing women to lower their gazes and protect their private parts and to not expose their beauty and adornment except what is readily apparent from it. Ulama, they says, like her clothings, you know, the outside clothings, not, you know, like her ibaya. How is she gonna hide the ibaya? How? She has a jacket on. She can't hide the jacket. All right, that's what he means. Except that which is readily apparent from it, and to pull their outer coverings down over their bosoms. And to not expose their beauty and adornment except to their husbands, or their fathers, or their husbands' fathers, or their sons, or their husbands' sons, or their brothers, or their brothers' sons, or their sisters' sons, or their women, or their right-hand possessions, or their male servants who have no need of women. They have no desires for women. Or children who have not attained knowledge of what is hidden of women. There's children who they don't know nothing about, you know, the women and the like. And to not stamp their feet so that what they hide of their beauty is known. And repent to Allah, all of you, O believers, so that you may be successful. Also here, the ulama, they mention, as for the woman displaying her adornment and the like, meaning she can show her hair, her jewelry, and the like, but still she has to, as the Shaykh Hassan, when he was with us, he elaborated on this. You remember? Surah An-Nur, elaborate. He says the husband, he can't see anything from his wife. But other than him, Yes, the woman, she shouldn't be like walking in front of her children, in front of her father, in an appropriate way. She shouldn't be walking in tight clothing, her bosom showing. La. And also, if her uncles and those people, fathers, husbands, fathers are non-Muslim, now she should dress properly in front of them because they don't understand the proper of Islam. Okay? And also she mentioned the other ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنْ ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَنْ يُعْرَفْنَ فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. O Prophet, say to your wives and the believing women to lower their veils over themselves, to dress properly, to cover with the proper hijab. That is the least, so that they are known but not harmed. And Allah is oft forgiving, merciful. Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 59. This is a khitab, an address from who to who? From who? From Allah. This ayah, the ayah. From Allah to who? To the Prophet. To the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, telling him what? O Prophet, say to who? To your wives. La ilaha illallah. So we need to learn this. You gotta tell your wife that if she wanna leave outside or not dressed properly, you remind her of Allah, of this ayah. This is what Allah says to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to say to his wives, who have the purest of hearts, have taqwa. And the women should have no problem with that. Because when the wife of the Prophet ﷺ was dressed this way, they covered, as Aisha radiallahu anha has mentioned. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahzab, that's chapter 33, verse 33. Easy to remember. Three threes, four threes. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى وَأَقِمْنَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتِينَ الزَّكَاةَ وَأَطِعْنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And close yourselves in your houses. Remain in your houses. And do not attract attention to yourselves as was done in the time of ignorance. And establish the prayer and pay the charity and obey Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umm Salama Hafizah Ta'ala, then she mentioned a hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith of Abi Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, in the book of Sunan Abi Dawood, this is in the book of Sunan Abi Dawood, إِذَا اسْتَعْطَرَتِ الْمَرْأَةُ فَمَرَّتْ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ لِيَجِدُوا رِيحَهَا فَهِيَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. يعني زانية. If a woman perfumes herself, she put a perfume, then passes by people who smell her, then she is so and so. The ulama says she's a fornicator, li'adu billah. That's a form of fornication. So a woman do not put perfume and leave the house. She do it, alhamdulillah, perfume, she does it at home. But if she want to leave the house, if she still smell, as Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said they should wash it. Should wash it off. Umm Salama says these limits and legal standards do not oppress women. All right, do not oppress women. Nor do they make her less than what she is. Rather, if we reflect upon them, take it, this is from a woman talking now to the sisters. She says these limits, covering and this and that, these limits and legal standards do not oppress women. Because some people, they say this is oppression. Why women have to cover? Women gotta stay home. Women doesn't shake man's hand. Why women can't mingle? Why women can't do this? Why women can't have a friend? La ilaha illallah. Because they wanna destroy the community, that's why. That's why she says these limits and legal standards do not oppress women, nor do they make her less than what she is. Rather, if we reflect upon them, we find that they vindicate the woman and protect her extremely well. That's protection for her. These limits are in opposition to those who call for giving the women what they consider complete freedom. And then she says, is unveiling herself and calling attention to herself by stamping her feet and exposing herself to the corruption and vileness of human devils, freeing her? That's the freedom. So she can be an easy prey for the corrupt and the wicked ones. That's the freedom. Is going to work and to toil by women, mixing with men outside the house and abandoning her home and children, freeing her? That's the freedom she's looking for. She said, is her leaving the house to join Parliament and Congress and the military and the police freeing her? She really going to be free by doing these things? Rather, she said, by Allah, this is true injustice and oppression for the women. Allah, the possessor of might and majesty, knows best and is wisest and more merciful to her than her own self. Allah has guided to what vindicates, protects, and dignifies her, meaning the woman, in this life and in the hereafter. Ummu Salama continues saying, nothing endures except following the book and the sunnah. They are the foundations in establishing a happy community upon cooperation, mercy, piety, and togetherness. And Allah is the one from whom we seek aid. She said, Hafidah Allah, for that reason I ask Allah that He makes my deeds purely for His sake, and that He benefits Islam and the Muslims. Verily He is their protector and able to benefit them, Ummu Salama al-Salafiyyah. Jazahallahu khairan for these advices for our sisters. Inshallah ta'ala, there is a preface here. We read this preface, inshallah ta'ala. Huh? Both of them. Preface or preface? Right or wrong? Same. I ask. I did my homework before I came here.
Same,
same. Same, right? Preface or preface?
Right.
Aina, mashallah. P-R-E-F-A-C-E. And then she said in this preface / preface, all right, leave everybody happy, inshallah. As long as there's no third opinion, right? She says, Al-Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala said, and this is taken from his book, The Place of Women in Reforming the Muslim Community and the Role of Women in Reforming and Rectifying the Muslim Community. She said that he says, rahimahullah, reforming the Muslim community could be divided into two categories. Number one, the first category, open reformation. And this is what occurs in the malls, the mosques, the other public places. The men most commonly handle this type of reformation because they are the ones who go out of the home. It's for the men. At the malls, you know, they give da'wah, like in Saudi Arabia, they have committee that calls Al-Amr bil-Ma'ruf wal-Nahy al-Munkar. They go to malls. If they see anybody is not doing something right, any suspicion, somebody try to cheat the Muslims, selling them something that is not right, a lot of things, subhanAllah. Certain people doing some activities, suspicious activities in the mall. You know what the malls are for these days. A lot of people, they go there broke with no money. It's going for other things. They're not going shopping. They're going to look for trouble. In Saudi Arabia, they have police, Akhwan. Da'wah police. They go and they patrol these malls and just to see if anybody trying to do something, harass women or women harassing men, and they talk to them.
They give them a warning. And if they persist, they take them akhi to the judge. Allahu Akbar. The second category, private reformation. And this occurs in the houses. And women handle this important reformation, this important information. She says this is because the women's place is in the home. Because the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen continues saying, because the woman's place is in the home. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has aimed his speech towards the affair of the woman when he says, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرَّجُ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ الْأُولَى وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتِينَا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَطِعْنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. And close yourselves in your houses and do not attract attention to yourselves as was done in the time of ignorance. And establish the prayer and pay the charity and obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Verily Allah wishes to rid you of unseemliness, O people of the house of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to purify you. Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 33. If you want more explanation, alhamdulillah, and great benefits, I refer you to the translation of the khutbah of Shaykh Hassan. Remember? Shaykh Hassan, hafidhahu ta'ala, when he was here, Hassan al-Banna, with us last week, hafidhahu Allah ta'ala, then he elaborated in his khutbah on this. Shaykh, it says, we presume after reading this verse that there is no harm upon us if we say that more than half of work in reforming the Muslim community falls on the shoulders of the women. Allahu Akbar. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he says, we presume after reading this verse that there is no harm upon us if we say that half or more than half of work in reforming the Muslim community falls on the shoulders of the women. And that is for two reasons. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen says, the first reason, women are as numerous as men are. There is more women than men. If not more, they are the same numbers. Maybe there is more women than men. The progeny of Adam is mostly women, as the prophetic traditions prove. However, this differs from country to country and from time to time. Consequently, it may be the case that women in our country are more than men, and maybe the opposite is true in another country. Just as women may have outnumbered men in one period, and the opposite could have been true in another. In any case, the women has a big role in maintaining the Muslim community. I'll highlight this one. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullahi says, women The woman has a big role in maintaining the Muslim community. The second reason, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullah says, the first period of life occurs in the care of women, and in that is a proof of the importance of what is obligatory on the woman in reforming the Muslim community. That was the end of Shaykh Muhammad Uthaymeen's speech. Children, yahi, until they leave the house, they spend more time with the mother than with the father, in most cases. And then Ummu Salama, hafidhahu ta'ala, she says, mentioned the statement of Allah, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ. Hey, Idris, can you say the ayah? وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَيُطِيعُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ سَيَرْحَمُهُمُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. In Surah At-Tawbah, verse 71, the believing men and women are protectors of one another. They enjoin the good and forbid the evil. They establish the prayer and pay the charity. And they obey Allah and His Messenger. They will be under the mercy of Allah if they do this thing, by doing this, obeying Allah. You're under the mercy of Allah.
Verily Allah is mighty and wise.
Umm Salama, she says, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, said about this verse, the meaning is that they support each other and lend a hand to each other. Support each other, teach each other, help one another, assist one another to the best of the abilities.
In order for the woman to realize her importance in reforming the community, it is a necessity for her to have someone who supports and lends her a hand, and that someone should be the man. And that someone should be the man. Indeed, the Lord of honor and glory clarified this to us in his noble book and in the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he brought it to our attention and guided us to some of the rights that the woman has over the men. And then she will list some of them, insha'Allah ta'ala. We will leave that for the next class, insha'Allah ta'ala, as she began by the chapter 1, the rights of the daughter upon her father. The rights of the daughter upon her father. We leave that for the next time, insha'Allah ta'ala. May Allah reward her great, alhamdulillah. May Allah allow all of us, especially our sisters in Islam, to benefit from this book, insha'Allah ta'ala. Subhanakallahu bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.